The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL. Super insane, crazy, wild card weekend.
Well, that's what they officially called
it. That's how they should have billed it as.
They called it Super Wild Card Weekend. Maybe not crazy insane, but
anyway. You can put crazy insane in there, they would have got more viewers.
They would have. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This was just gone, the Super Wild Card Weekend, which is the first time they've done it where I guess the top two. Well, the top AFC team and the top NFC team have the first round bye, and instead of the top two teams, which means we did get to watch six games, which is I think we were saying this before we started. I think it's brilliant. I hope they keep doing it this way. I think they are.
It'll do. I guess, whatever the numbers come back as, but I would think that this is here to stay. And just like we said a little bit earlier before we come on, before the microphones got turned on, whether or not they think about the next tweak in taking away two preseason games and having two regular season games added, so it's an 18 game regular season schedule instead of 16. I still think the 16 games is the way to go. And have this playoff, and that extra playoff game, I think they would get better numbers out of it. It sort of puts more importance on getting the number one seed in the conference rather than the number one and number two. It's the number two seed. Then pretty much they get the lowest seed of the lot, but that means they've still got to play on wildcard weekend.
Which is, I still think you've got more to play for. I still don't. I mean, it's probably everybody.
As if the regular season doesn't count, it counts for a lot. There's only 16 games, but it just makes even more emphasis on making every single game count.
Except if you're from the NFC East. I still don't like that I wish that if you win your division, that's fine. But then it should then go on your results. Like a 7-9 Washington, we'll go through the scores in a sec. But a 7-9 Washington shouldn't have been the number four seed and had a home game against 11-5 Bucks. Just as an example, I still don't like that personally.
No, but it's just one of those anomaly seasons that the way that this year's gone. It's just happened like that. Even if they're an 8-8 or a 9-7, the Giants, whoever, what was it, 2009 that beat the Patriots, they were a 9-7 team. Got to the Super Bowl and they knocked off an undefeated New England Patriots.
Yeah.
So, you can have a
Panthers,
so-called mediocre.
Thing.
Yeah, you can have a mediocre team in there. Yeah. But if you're playing good at the end of the season, then you can continue that hot streak.
Yeah. I think it was your Panthers when I think Ron Rivera was there and I think Cam Newton was there and they were 8-8 and they got the Super Bowl. But so it's the same. I guess it's the same situation. I don't personally like it, but it's the same situation. So
that's, it is what it is. It's just one of those, this year's been one of those funny seasons. So, if it continues to happen, and if it continues to happen throughout all divisions that this trend could continue, then the NFL will have to come out and sort of do something about it. But I think it's just one of those anomalies, and we've got to roll with it. And hey, look, man, like Washington, they were ultra competitive in that game.
Oh yeah, definitely.
They didn't look out of place at all.
No, definitely not. We'll go through the games. So it was three Sunday games and three Monday games. The first was the Bills, the 13-3 Bills beating the Colts. I guess if we look at all these teams, most of them, or not all of them, but most of them are pretty competitive. But the Colts went down by 3, 27-24. The Rams, was shocking the Seahawks and me beating the your Seahawks, 30-20.
That was just one of those wow games. I didn't know what I was watching. It's just like, what are they doing that O-line and Russ? They just, man, they made him look mediocre.
Oh, but that defense did, definitely. The Bucks are fighting off, I guess, a spirited Washington with a very spirited quarterback in Taylor Heinicke. It's his second start overall. Second start, and it's in a playoff game. Yeah, he played brilliantly, but they went down 31-23. The Ravens beating the Titans. I mean, I had Titans going into the AFC, so that shot that 20-13. That shot that real quick. Your boys, the Saints, you know, this is the team I was speaking of that really didn't play competitive compared to the rest, beat the hapless Bears I'm talking about, 21-9.
Look, it shouldn't have really been that close.
No, and the last game was it was a topsy-turvy game, but
was an absolute stunner.
The Browns, no one thought the Browns could win, or firstly get there, and then secondly win a playoff game, especially a couple of wide receivers in the Steelers, but they did beat the Steelers 48-37. I don't know if you want to start there, but we can go backwards, but man, that... It wasn't so much a score. It was a hot start, like the hot first half.
It was an unmitigated disaster for Pittsburgh on the very first snap of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was nine seconds into the game, and Cleveland are up. Didn't even have to touch the ball, except in the end zone when they recovered the high snap from Pouncey. And as soon as it went over his head, he's like, uh-oh. And it's a skyscraper with legs trying to get back there and scramble and pick up the ball. And then all of a sudden the Browns are up 7-0. And you're just like, what the hell is going on? And it just got worse.
So two things for that. Firstly, Ben was never going to bend down. So there's that. And secondly, why didn't James Conner, who was back there, dive on it? Or why didn't one of them just kick the ball instead of getting 2 points for a safety, which would have been fine, then getting 7 points? Kick the ball to the dead zone.
That's right. Yeah, it's when you two see points. It in the NRL all the time. They try and bat it dead instead of when it's on the ground, just ground it.
Well, they would have been a safety.
Dead. They try and bat it over the dead ball line. They miss it, and there's somebody comes behind them and scores.
Yeah, it was, and that's what they should have just dived on it. 2 points is way better than seven. But you're right, from then on, it was unmitigated disaster, you know, especially when Ben's got...
It was unbelievable. Like, to say that not so much you're seeing the result coming, like I'm sure there was some diehard Browns fans out there that yes, they could have seen this result, but just the way that it went about, and, you know, funnily enough, after going down 28 points to nothing in the first quarter, you know, being down 35-10 at halftime, the Steelers, they still had enough offensive gun to be able to keep it close and to get it back to 12 points.
Well, Ben threw 68 times for 500 goddamn yards.
Man, he need an elbow transplant after that. Coming off an elbow injury, like he's thrown 45 plus passes like four times this year.
Yeah,
like that's not good for a guy that's come off an elbow injury. What did he complete?
47 out of 68. Yeah, so
501 yards, and they had no choice but to go the aerial route.
Well, that's been the whole year, but it
worked.
Yeah, it worked. That's been the whole year. You know, James Conner, like one or two years ago, I think it was Tony 2 years ago, you know, was a top 10 quarterback. And then he's nothing. Something's happened there. He's nothing. So they had to throw it.
They had no choice. Like, you know, when you get down that much, it's like if Tennessee or somebody like that who's got a dominant running back gets down that far.
Yeah.
You simply just can't go to the running game. Like, you have to preserve as much clock as humanly possible. And you've got no choice but to go to the arm of Big Ben. And That's what I mean. Like, it just...
Cleveland did everything perfect in that first half.
No, honestly, and to not just... have their play caller, to not have Kevin Stefanski there,
yeah,
you know, him in his basement, you know, I'm sure the wife and kids upstairs would have been knowing what the hell was going on. He would have been yelling and screaming and hooting and hollering all over that basement in his house. Like, he would have been just been, because he could have no input whatsoever in that game. So yeah, that just would have been so stressful for him. And then once the game got started,
because there's a legality thing or something. Yeah, it's deemed. Yeah, I get it. I mean, obviously,
it's an NFL rule, yeah, that sure. Yeah, if you can't be there at the game, then you absolutely cannot have any input influence over that game at all.
It wasn't just him, but there was a few other coaches there too. I mean,
that's right.
But I mean, Baker Mayfield was flawless, pretty much. So he's not overly flashy, but he was just flawless for the fact that he didn't get sacked, he didn't get intercepted, he only threw for 263, but it was, you know, 21 of 34. He's found more than I thought that he had, even though he was a number one pick. I wasn't completely sold on him.
No, look, that they've gone to their recipe for success. That's got them to this point, that's got them to most of those 11 wins, is pound the ball and, you know, have guys like Myles Garrett on the front defensive line just harass and terrorize whoever the quarterback is. And that's, you know, not to say that you can't win a game off the arm of Baker Mayfield, but it some of the games this year... Yeah, especially early on the year when they played the so-called better teams like Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you know, in divisional games early in the year, they just ran them out of the gym, and it wasn't even competitive, and they were trying to win those games on the arm of Baker Mayfield. Once they got their system in place and their plans in place, we've got Nick Chubb. Oh yeah, no, he's pretty good running back. Like, our offensive line is pretty good.
We've got Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, we picked him up from Kansas City last year. Yeah, we've got him too. So we've got a pretty good two-headed monster. So how about let's try and run the ball down teams' throats and try and bash people out of it to try and open up the game a little bit more for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And it works a treat.
Oh, yeah. No, it does big time. It has worked a treat. This is why I think Stefanski... to me, he's in the running for a coach of the year because he has turned the Browns around. Yes, anybody could be better than their previous coach, Freddie Kitchens, but he that's still a huge turnaround. He had to. They didn't really pick, except for OBJ. Oh no, he was there last year, wasn't he? Yeah, he was there last year.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't really pick up much this year at all. Really, they've had pretty much the same team, except for possibly Hooper.
They overpaid for Austin Hooper, for the amount that they used him this year. Yeah. Like, that was a complete and utter waste of money. But, he got seven catches in this game, but they just haven't used him at all, really. So, it was good to see sort of Jarvis Landry get some big yards as well. Like, yeah, he's a top gun receiver. I like him a lot, and it's good to see him getting some work and not being wasted.
Yeah, I think he's 28. So, yeah, you're right. I think... Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind Jarvis Landry at all because if you look at it, he's not really your prototypical wide receiver. He's 5'11", 196 pounds. So, but he is quick and he's got good hands. So, yeah, I like the makeup of their team. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the their edge. I think it's their right edge. His name's Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett, huge
fan of him. So they've got a good makeup. I don't think they're going to
when he's not wielding helmets at Pittsburgh Steelers, like, yeah, he's a pretty handy defensive player. So, and they paid him like one. So
yeah, they did. And that's the thing that
Pittsburgh sort of, I thought, was a little disappointing with them. Like, they were the league leader in sacks this year, and could just kept Baker Mayfield totally clean. Like, just, yeah, no sacks, like a lot of pressure, but not that much. Not even any QB tackles for loss or anything. So it was just that's just one of those games where it was just total offense. And yeah, there was absolutely nothing that both teams defensively could do. And when Big Ben throws four interceptions, on top of four touchdowns, they negate each other, and you give yourself next to no chance.
Yeah, that's
when
right.
You throw four interceptions. I don't care how many touchdowns you throw. When you give the ball away four times off your own arm, it just wreaks disaster.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they've got the Chiefs next week. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that may think they could do a miracle, but I personally don't. I don't see any possible way they could beat the Chiefs. Not one possible way, personally.
I mean, they'd have to have another start like they did in this game.
That would be the only way.
Do you know what I mean? Sure. Like they're defensively.
Yeah.
They are going to have to step up big time, and can they score enough points to keep up with Kansas City? That's always going to be the narrative when you play against the Chiefs. Can you score enough? If you've got an explosive offense, you can score enough, then you may have a puncher's chance.
Who in the last month haven't been playing that well and having notoriously slow starts. So they'll go in with a chance. They won't be favorites, but
I think they'll be a very heavy underdog.
Yeah, I'm thinking like 9 to 10 points to start, surely. But that's what I think. I'm talking betting here. I think nine and a half. I don't know.
Yeah, they'll be a touchdown plus.
Going up the order, the next game was your Saints on Drew Brees' 42nd birthday, getting the win over the Bears.
I mean, he's not quite 42, but yeah, he'll be celebrating 42 on Thursday or Friday, I think.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't his actual birthday.
By the time they play Tampa next week.
Okay. By the way going on, I thought it was his birthday. Okay, there you go.
No, it's okay. It's coming up. It's this week.
Okay. It's obviously your team. What did you think of the actual game itself? I wasn't completely invested in the game.
No, and if you're a casual fan sort of watching it, it was probably one of those games where you might not be super invested in it. Mm-hmm. I was super invested in it. I didn't think both offenses were very good in the first half. The Saints got enough done, to sort of put the Bears at arm's length. And look, Chicago come out and they threw some deep shots. And it nearly paid off. Wims had a deep touchdown. It should have been a touchdown.
But the one that trick play
went straight through the bread basket.
That trick play It was such a great trick play. Montgomery took the snap, ran to the right, and then flicked it to Trubisky, who threw a really good pass, and he just went straight through his hand.
It just went straight through him. Yeah, it just went straight through him like a bread, but just unreal.
And who was
the play unfold and he'd already scorched, I think it was PJ Williams at the back there. It's like, oh no, here we go. This is not good. And it went straight through his hands. It's like, oh, thank God for that.
And I think so. It must have been him, but whoever it was that was chasing him, and then he missed the ball. You're seeing just on the foreground of the camera, he's laughing his ass off that the ball went through his hands. One of your players.
So I'm pretty sure it was PJ Williams.
Yeah, the biggest smile on his face. It was hilarious. I loved it.
Look, the main killer, I think, too, was two things. Was sort of third down conversion. Which Chicago were awful. They were 1 for 10 on third down, and the Saints were 11 for 17. So that was a huge factor in keeping drives alive, keeping the ball, and the Saints just milked the clock beautifully, especially in the third quarter and going into the fourth quarter. One was 8-plus-minute drives, and another one was 9-plus-minute drives, just keeping the ball away from Trubisky, not even giving them a chance to you know, to get the ball and to work some sort of miracle and magic. But they showed their hand pretty early, you know, in the second quarter. It was a fourth and four, and they decided to go for it. I think it was just on the other side of the halfway line, and that's when they showed their hand pretty early, and it didn't come off. And it's like, righto, like this is what they're going to do. They're going to have to be extremely bold. And it didn't come off. And, you know, like we sort of said earlier, it shouldn't have even been this close. You know, 21-9. You know, Drew Brees sort of had the jump over the offensive lineman to try and reach out to score a touchdown. Didn't reach out far enough. Skited to the camera a little bit, saying, we're getting in.
Yeah.
And they kind of didn't get in, and just to sort of put the game out of reach. But
yeah,
on the very last play of the game, like that one-handed catch by Jimmy Graham was vintage Saints Jimmy Graham. Like that catch was unbelievable. And from what I've sort of read a little bit as well, which was kind of funny, was they deferred not to, or yeah, they decided not to take the point after, which apparently cost a lot of bettors out there that took Chicago on the line at plus 11.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, plus 11 in here in this country as I was looking at it. They were plus 10.
Oh, well, that would have been even then, 20.
That's right. It was a lot of push bets.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I echoing what that's what I from what you said at the start. That's what I thought. That lack of Chicago was their third downs. You know, 1 out of 10 is just not good enough. Awful. That's just not good awful. Enough. Yeah.
And sort of. I guess one of the funny parts of the game too was the serial pest. Gardner Johnson working his magic again, which was just absolutely terrific. Just getting under Anthony Miller's skin and, sort of making him take a little bit of a swipe at him and him just standing back, putting his arms in the air, saying, hey, what did I didn't do nothing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And Anthony Miller getting tossed out of the game. I thought just genius. I don't know what he does or what he says, but man, it just serial pest.
I don't that was exactly. I see. I couldn't even work out. They used so many running people or people for rushing and really got nowhere. Montgomery obviously, but I don't know. I had a few flashy
plays.
That's what
the Saints have done well all year.
The Saints have done it well.
Best run defenses over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And they just stuff the run real hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Like their longest rush of the night, 7 yards.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
they missed a scramble out of the pocket. Like they just had them shut down, and that was the formula. Make Trubisky beat you. Make him beat you off your arm instead of, you know, because there's David Montgomery's coming hot.
Yeah,
like he's been one of the best running backs over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
So they took away that, like, you know, Kamara was big again.
Deontay Harris was pretty big.
They got Michael Thomas involved early, which was good.
Deontay Harris, I liked his game because he got 7 out. You know, he didn't drop a ball in 83 yards. He was pretty good, Deontay.
He was real good, and they got him a lot involved. Probably not so much Emmanuel Sanders, which you probably would have thought would have had a little bit more of an impact in this game, but it was. Yeah, a lot of it was Deontay Harris and obviously Michael Thomas.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, catching his first touchdown pass in 385 days. So I would have thought he would have been pretty pleased with that, and I guess pretty pleased to be back. I think at a total with Thomas, Kamara, and Breeze had played a total of 10 quarters all year.
Together. Oh, wow.
So for him to get involved early was absolutely imperative for Sean Payton and the Saints to get Breeze and Thomas to connect early and just to get his confidence up and a confident Michael Thomas is going to be a big problem.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm still I think Drew's got surely some sort of lingering there. But look, if it is
There's no way he's 100%.
If it's from what you're saying, what I actually hear from like a lot of broadcasters that are saying as well. But if it is going to be his final year, then yeah, they might make a run just quietly. Who knows?
Yeah, look, and that's the thing, like, you know, but yeah, both teams to start the game off to were sort of very defensive minded, and a couple of defensive plays by both teams were taken away, like an interception was taken away from Chicago because there was the tiniest little bit of a bobble that hit the ground from a tip up ball from Drew Brees. He wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but look, you know, and even a lot of their gadget plays didn't really sort of work either. They tried Taysom Hill in, I think it was for one play, I think.
Yeah.
I think he was in the shotgun, and then he got sacked. So, you know, a few of their gadget plays didn't quite work. So, yeah, coming up, you know, next week for New Orleans is Tampa, and that's just going to be I've no idea what that could be if both teams are playing at their peak. And I think Devin White is back this week for Tampa as well.
Yeah.
So that's two good defenses and two good offenses. So it's going to be whoever blinks first is going to get the chocolates next week.
I think you're I think it's going to be the funnest game of all those games that are played. Out of all of them, I think that's going to be the funnest game for a lot of reasons. Like for somebody
that's impartial like you, that's going to be fun. For me, it's going to be uber stressful.
No, I think, I'm saying if you look at the other games, I think that'll be the funnest one. You know, I think it's stressful for you.
Don't discount Baltimore and Buffalo. I think that's going to be a good one as well.
I think so, but it's just, I don't know, like the whole Tom Brady Breeze thing. You know, Breeze beating Brady twice this year, surely that's going to have to play a little bit into it as well.
No, like, I think so. And I think the way that they absolutely blew out
the Bucks. Okay. Yeah.
It was the season opener at the Superdome, and New Orleans looked pretty good and sort of shut Brady down. But that was just such a random game. I think it was 38-3.
Yeah.
You know, the Saints just rolled in to Tampa, blew the living piss out of the Bucks, and then went home. Like it was such a strange game. Like it was the Saints were near perfect. It was just, to me, it was just one of those games. Obviously that's not going to happen again this week. Highly competitive.
Yeah.
I'm just a teeny bit scared.
Next game was the Ravens and Titans. Ravens getting the win 20-13 on the back of really just one. I mean, really it was just the one man. It was Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he was one man show.
He was the one man show. It's what's got him there before last year. You know what got him the MVP. Wasn't just that. It was also keeping Derrick Henry to 40 yards.
That's right. That 18 rushes. 18 rushes for 40 yards is a hell of a way, you know, to sort of exercise those demons from last year. And especially to do it in Tennessee as well. Like, you know, it's just funny about this weekend. Only two home teams won this week.
Yeah. Which just shows you, just the crowd effect. You know,
it does. I think absolutely that, this crowd comes into it. And you have a look, you have a look at next week's games. Just real quick, Arrowhead is supposedly one of the most intimidating places to go and play. And so is the Superdome. And they're not going to have that advantage.
Oh, Arrowhead's definitely one of the most intimidating. It's just that sound decibel. Yeah, that sound decibel noise.
Yeah, Seattle.
Seattle's huge.
Crazy fans, and it's just, Yeah, it's just crazy loud in there, and that's one advantage that they've been taken away. Look, Tennessee looked all right in the first quarter and a bit.
Yeah, look, they did, and it was working brilliantly, like with AJ Brown, like, and you know, getting a getting a touchdown at the start there. And that was good because no one expected it. Obviously, everybody was thinking Derrick Henry will just sort of, you know, steamroll these guys, but it went the other way. They started throwing the ball at the start. It wasn't sort of too bad.
I mean, I guess that's a bit of an element of surprise too, I guess. Like, sure. if you come straight out and they're going to stack the box, you know, expecting to have a lot of Derrick Henry running their way, and, you know, Tannehill tries to open things up by trying to hit AJ Brown, you know, and the likes of those players, Corey Davis and those guys, to try and spread everything out so they can get the running game going. But it just didn't happen.
And the way, you know, Lamar played, just for the pure fact of, he got sacked 5 times as well. So he wasn't, you know.
He was. Yeah, his jersey wasn't clean by any stretch.
He got battered up. He threw 7 in the 24 for only 179. So he was fairly consistent. Yes, he got sacked 5 times. It was just his running game. I mean,
that's the most dangerous part of his body is his legs.
And I don't know. I honestly think he can be more dangerous than Derrick Henry, purely because I think he's a quarterback and you don't know what he can do. Like, he's one of the few or only quarterbacks, if he's got the ball, like, you know, he'll burn 40 yards.
That's what they've got. That's the problem with him. If they can keep him contained in the pocket, then, you know, you've got a little bit of a chance. But once you flush him out and he's in open territory and he's in a scramble and he's in a, you know, an impromptu play, then he is a very, very dangerous man.
And I think Harbaugh didn't like just finishing on that game. Their whole motivation apparently going into that game was when the Titans danced all over their Ravens logo
year. What is with that with people that are Juju Smith-Schuster's doing that sort of crap? Like, why do you put yourself open to shit like that? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, why leave yourself open to that?
For some reason, it all started with I don't know who, but it was certain players dancing on the Star of Dallas. It was just anybody wanted to dance on that Star of Dallas, and now they all sort of do it. I mean, I've never seen the teams do it like as big as this one. Like, the whole teams do it. Like, that's just absolutely great.
It was a whole choreographed little show. It was it wouldn't have been out of place in a Vegas hotel.
No, it was so that was good motivation, but. Yeah, and you're right. I think the Ravens and Bills will be another fun game. That could go either way. I really don't know which way that's going to go. The Bills probably need better defense. We'll talk about them later, especially against Lamar, but we'll just have to play the wait and see on that game. The next game was the Buccaneers beating Washington 31-23. Look, Tom Brady was pretty electric in that game. But on the flip side, so was Heinicke. Like, for his second start, he's got a contract. I don't know. Like, he was great. Absolutely great.
He looked unflappable.
Yeah.
He certainly didn't look like a rookie or somebody who was only on their second start.
No, for your only second start in a game, and it's in a playoff. He would have only
found that out whether it was 48 hours before it as well, because right up until pretty much that game day, the starter was going to be Alex Smith, but he just couldn't recover from that calf injury on the one calf muscle that he actually has. I think the rest of it on that leg that's broken is just meat. I don't think there's a whole lot of actual, you know, like calf muscle or anything there. I think it's just flesh. But he just couldn't recover from that calf muscle injury. So, you know, obviously they've let Dwayne Haskins, flitter away into the night. So they obviously had no option but to start Taylor Heinicke. And look, man, I was real impressed by what he was doing.
And he only, they said at the start too, he's only threw two, when they found out, he only threw two actual throws, because that's all he had a chance to their best wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. That's it. So that's the first time they ever, like, threw the ball, you know, like, I guess, to each other. Like, that's, yeah, he was impressive. He was quick. He was able to get out of the pocket. And if, obviously, the scramble, he was good.
And that's the thing, and that's the contrast in games, isn't it? You know, you've got a statue in Alex Smith that, yeah, through no fault of his own, is a very immobile quarterback. Yet Taylor Heinicke is extremely mobile and can get out of the pocket and creates, you know, that extra dimension to the offense, and it's just something that an extra thing that Tampa's D had to have a look for.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, on the flip side with the other D, they were – Washington were apparently gunning out there just to sort of get to Tom, which they did three times, so they didn't do too bad.
The funny thing was too, you know, Chase Young, after the game last week against Philly, you could hear him yelling out as they're running off the field, "I want Tom, I want Tom."
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to watch out what you wish for. And he really didn't do a whole lot. And no. You know, Brady was fairly clean right up until just before the end of the half and he got sacked. So yeah. he was clean that whole first half. And then they got to him just under a minute to go to sort of stuff one, you know, that final drive of theirs in the first half. But, yeah, that for Washington to win, this was a situation where, you know, like up against Kansas City, do you have enough points? And clearly they didn't, and you know, and obviously their defense wasn't. Yeah, you know, they'll, yeah, you know, you've earned the right to be a little bit cocky, but
not a 7-9. Yeah, I think, you know, it's his first year. He's a good player. He'll make the Pro Bowl. No doubt about it. He'll get Defensive Rookie of the Year, all that. But you just because you won in the NFC East, you still finished 7-9. I don't think you should be that cocky going in up against a guy that's, you know, done it and won it all. Like, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Like,
look, if you don't believe in yourself, then who's going to believe in you?
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, and that's fine. There's a difference between confident and overconfident, which is what you were saying.
Yeah, about, that's right.
He was overconfident, and then he really couldn't get to Tom that much. Tom used that was Leonard Fournette's best game I've seen him play this year. He was great.
Yeah. Like that. He may have had more yards in a game this year, but that was. Power running,
yeah,
that you know from Leonard Fournette from a few years ago.
Yeah, that's what he. Yeah, that's. I mean, yeah, he was picked up on the cheap. Don't get me wrong, but that is his game. He can have that in him.
He is as good a power runner as Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's right. I totally agree.
I think everybody forgets that. Like, you know, he was a major cog. You know, that few years ago. For Jacksonville, for them to be, you know, one or two plays away from an AFC championship.
Yeah, that's right. I think I don't know what I'm assuming he's only signed to 1 year, so I don't know what he's going to do.
I think a lot of those, you know, him and Le'Veon Bell and guys like that have only signed on like the 1 year those proving type years to go, this is an audition. I'll prove to you how good I am, and whether or not if the Bucks are the one that pick him up or if somebody else picks him up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, he's everyone thinks, you know, like you just mentioning Derrick Henry and Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette's only not that, you know, Derrick Henry's a little bit taller than him, just looking at it now, and just a little bit heavier than him. So Leonard Fournette is a big dude.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, he's a solid man.
How the hell did, except for their defense, I'm still not perplexed. I didn't think the Rams had 30 points in them to beat the Seahawks.
Oh, at all. God, no.
Their defense, oh my God,
Russell Wilson and that offensive line to get feasted on, and for them to just be horrendous. And for the same sort of thing, Chicago, Yeah, the Seahawks were 2 for 14 on third down. Just absolutely couldn't. They were 0 for 11 to start.
Yeah.
So it just, if you can't complete on third down and you're just getting mauled up front, and I think, you know, Russ has just been, I guess, on a little bit of a decline. A
little bit.
Maybe in the last month or so.
Yeah.
And it just, man, it just, it was, it looked ugly. It looked real ugly.
It did. It, like, Aaron Donald is honestly probably the best defensive player I've ever seen in my life. He is huge, obviously, but he's quick. He gets between players.
I think that's the credit to him. He's not doing it off the edge. He's doing it up the middle, and he's having to deal with double teams and stuff like that, and he can still get around through, whether it's around them with quickness or through them with power. So yeah. I think, you know, you hear a lot of people out there, you know, sort of have that take of he's the top two or three defensive players ever. You know, you always hear, Lawrence Taylor's name brought up as well. Obviously, we're not, we haven't been that much into the NFL where we remember LT. I just remember LT in a WrestleMania match. I think it was WrestleMania 11. I think.
Look, was he against
Bam Bam Bigelow?
Yeah, he did.
I think it was LT against Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, he did. You know, I've seen enough video clips to. Yeah, Lawrence Taylor was a beast as well, but he's not. He's nowhere near as quick as Aaron Donald was. That's what blows me away. And Aaron Donald is a huge man. It's unbelievable how he gets between those double teams. Him and then Jalen Ramsey just pestered Metcalf that whole game. It was so funny. Well, not funny for Metcalf, but God, he pestered him big time.
Oh yeah, and DK was super frustrated. Ooh,
wasn't he angry?
Oh man, he was an angry young man.
He was yelling at someone, and then I think Pete Carroll had to, you know, calm him down. And they got two consolation touchdowns for him.
After his sort of first outburst on the sidelines, pretty much after that, they got him. I think was it a 38 yard TD for him? And yeah, they're sort of getting him involved in the game. Yeah, pretty much straight up after that. So I was like, okay, all well and good, but the pick six that Russ threw, that was absolutely telegraphed screen pass to DK Metcalf, was picked off by Darius Williams. And you could just tell that he just read the play, knew what was coming, because he got straight up off there because Russ had just turned straight away to the left to throw that screen pass straight to Metcalf. And it went, he just cut straight in front of it, caught it, pick six. And you just like, oh, all right. Like that seems like a man that, you know, that knew that was coming.
It was the best timing I've ever seen. I think I put it in our message group. His timing on that was impeccable.
That was unreal.
Not in ours, but another one for Rams guys. It was absolutely unreal. On the Rams, look. Their running game was great. Their defense is great. What are they going to do with
Jared? Akers, like, man, he fueled that first half. Akers.
Oh, Akers is great. Akers is brilliant. I'm just talking to Jared Goff. He's apparently still got those pins in his thumb, and that's his throwing arm.
Three pins in his thumb.
That's like the way he played that game. That's not a divisional winning quarterback. Not even close.
No, and that's the thing. Like, you know, they can get out there and they can do the things that they can, you know, with Cam Akers. But if need be, like, you know, if it comes, you know, push comes to shove and they take away the run game, then what happens? Like, you know, that was a pretty nasty injury to John Wolford to sort of start that game.
Yeah.
And they're all checking on his neck, and he ended up having to go to hospital. So they couldn't. They had no option but to put Jared Goff out there because they got Blake Bortles on the roster, but he's inactive. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't even put Bortles out there, and who the hell knows what that game could have been if Blake Bortles was out there. Good grief. So Both quarterbacks were awful in that game. Awful.
Yeah, both of them, including Russell Wilson, which we said at the start.
Russ was that's one of the worst games I've ever seen play.
I said at the start, or at least I said it. He was hungry for. He was going like he was playing MVP in those first 3 or 4 weeks, and then they
first half of the season.
Yeah, their defense let them down, but they went to shit. It wasn't good at all. Unfortunately for them,
you know, there was a little bit of a period in the game just before halftime, like about 7 or 8 minutes before, you know, leading up into halftime, where the game opened up a little bit, where they sort of traded touchdowns, and that was about as good offensively as the game got.
Yeah.
The deal sealer was, you know, was the punt return fumble, you know, by DJ Reed. You know, the Rams recover.
Yeah.
And they essentially punch it in for a touchdown. Robert Woods catches the pass, and that shuts the gate.
They've got a good team. You know, just looking ahead who they're playing next week. They've got a good team, and their defense is pretty much. I know people say defense wins games, and all that. You know. I'll call it jargon, but they have a team that their defense could legitimately win them next week's game. I mean, it's against the Packers, but stranger things have happened.
No, absolutely. Look, if they come out and they make Aaron Rodgers, who is most likely going to be the MVP, if they make him look ordinary next week, then that's going to go a long way to pulling. You know, another monumental upset, no matter who starts, you know, whether it's Wolford, if he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
This week, if it's going to be Jared Goff, are they going to activate Bortles? I wasn't 100% sure why he was inactive. I'm not sure if he's on the COVID reserve list or not, but it's got to start with their run game on offense, you know, and Cam Akers, and yeah, the defense has to absolutely step up and again play in the same manner as they did this week. But you know, Aaron Rodgers is in a hell of a lot better form and playing a whole lot better than what Russell Wilson has been in the last few weeks.
Yeah. And they've only just their 6.5 points. So I think the Rams will cover that personally, but that's
I think it'll be closer than you think.
Yeah, I do. Big time.
Unless Rodgers just comes out and just puts on a clinic. If you're Green Bay, you've got to come out and you've got to stuff the run, and you've got to make whoever it's going to be there, whether it's Wolford or Goff, you've got to make them win it for you. And if it's either one of them, that's going to be a real tall task.
They've got a pretty good offensive line to, you know, Rodgers does get a lot of time to throw that ball generally. That's right. He's got some speedsters too,
like, you know, Valdez Scantling and obviously Devontae Adams as well. Like he's got some speedsters.
Alan
there,
Lazard's
so.
Pretty quick too. That Lazard.
That's right. Yeah, Lazard as well. Like they've got some good fast guys out there that he'll be able to get the ball away quickly. He doesn't need to buy himself a lot of time to get the ball upfield. So I think that'll be one of those. Yeah, I guess sort of. Yeah, the Rams have got to drag that game into the mud, so to speak.
Bills getting over the Colts 27-24 in possibly Phillip Rivers' last game, at least for the Colts, but he was near perfect. I know we say old man Rivers and all that, but God, he was near perfect. He wasn't too bad again.
Look, he was all right, and he essentially had no pressure put on him as well. And that's the thing, I guess, that was sort of a little bit disappointing if you're a Colts fan, is they controlled the clock really well. Like, they had 9+ minutes more time of possession. They just couldn't convert the opportunities that were given to them, which is unfortunate. You know, Jonathan Taylor had another 21 carries again, so, you know, he sort of, they're bell cow at the moment. Look, like we said last week, T.Y. Hilton has been playing really well. D. didn't really get too involved in this game. Only had 5 targets, 2 receptions. So that was sort of a little bit of a downfall there. I thought Josh Allen spread the ball out really well between everybody offensively with their wide receivers. Obviously Stephon Diggs was massive again.
Oh, those two are the best combination. It's absolutely ridiculous. And Josh Allen, speaking of near perfect, he did get sacked 2 times, but he also ran 54 yards. He had a very, very – he's a strong quarterback, running quarterback. He's
a big dude as well. Good.
Yeah, he's a very big guy. On the back of what you said, the Colts definitely had enough ball to do it. And they had enough time in possession, exactly what you sort of said. It was that, again, third downs, I sort of let them down. And they took a lot of shots on the fourth down, I noticed. They only got 2 out of 4, but, yeah, I'm comparing it to the Bills, of course, who didn't take any fourth down attempts, but they just didn't convert, exactly what you said.
And the thing was, too, you know, the Colts were up 10, yep. you know, to what well, they are, 10-7 just before halftime. And, you know, then Josh Allen just proceeds to lead the Bills on a 96-yard, 10-play drive in a minute 32 to score a touchdown. Like, it just unbelievable how, you know, that two-minute drill and how easy he makes it look to just march up the field in that quick a time to snatch away the momentum, I think, that Indianapolis were building, because I thought they were sort of building towards something good in that game. And then once they got behind 24-10, you're like, all right, like this is, yeah, especially in the fourth quarter, that's Stephon Diggs touchdown right at the start of the fourth quarter. And it's like, righto, they're going to have to really pull sort of something special out here to get the win. Only going down by 3, kept it close, probably closer than what you would have thought it might have been. But I think it was just the fact that they could, the Colts could not capitalize enough on the amount of ball that they had and field position as well. Like, I think that was a lot of it as well. It was just not being able to capitalize on it. And I think T.Y. Hilton sort of not getting involved enough and having a bit of a poor outing. The old cliche, it's a game of inches. And I think Buffalo did enough. I would have thought Buffalo sort of would have given Indianapolis a little bit of a touch up.
Yeah, which is concerning for me.
To Indianapolis's credit, came back.
Yeah.
Got it within 3. And this could be Philip Rivers' last game, or it just could be his last game as a Colt.
Yeah, that was
Did
concerning.
Did he sign a 1 or a 2-year deal?
Nah, just a 1-year deal. That was concerning. I thought that was concerning as well, is that they let, I guess, the Colts back into that sort of game. And their defense has been great all year. We'll see how they go against the Ravens. But that was my concern with the Bills, because they've played great all year, but their defense really let them down in that game.
Yeah, that's right. And the Colts come in as a good team, you know, sort of running a little bit hot, over the last few weeks, you know, coming into the playoffs. So it was going to be less than easy. So I think that was part of it as well. It doesn't matter how you win, as long as you win. There's no style points or anything of that. It doesn't matter whether it's a last gasp field goal, doesn't matter. 1 point. 10 points, 40 points. Doesn't matter. All you got to do is get the W.
Did you have any studs and duds of the week? If you start with the studs.
Look, for me, I thought start of the week was Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the same thing. I mean, it would have been easy to pick Lamar, and I had Lamar down for a little bit when I had both names, but he was great. He was... He probably will be their starting quarterback next year. I'll be very surprised if he isn't. I haven't looked at his contract details or anything, but I think he will be.
And it'll be the fact of, okay, you know, not a lot of teams out there probably have got a lot of film on him, and it'll be whether or not he can sort of keep this up as well. So, you know, once they get five, six, seven games into the season and there's a little bit more tape on him, can he evolve? You know, teams will start to figure out what he can do, what he can't do, and it'll be on him then, you know, sort of, to get in and have an evolution as a player to get better. So I don't think, Alex Smith will still be there next year, and that'll be a really good mentor for him. So, I think they found something there in Taylor Heinicke. Could you see that sort of performance from Dwayne Haskins?
No, definitely not. No,
not from what he's shown.
And it's possible they still might go after a quarterback. Who knows? But I think he did enough. Someone will pick him up. You know, you're going up against a big, high-profile team too. So I think I think he was, and they've got a great defense, the Bucks. So I completely agree with you on him as the start of the week. Who'd you have for the dud? I felt mine was very straightforward.
All right, hit me with it.
Chase Claypool. I'm sick of this.
Oh, my God.
Why come out after a game, and I'm not so sick of the rookies, because that's good to have confidence and all that. Well, why can't I out after the game and say, we lost, but the Browns are still the Browns, and they won't go any further. And they're all doing it on TikTok. Like, what the hell's going on?
Oh, my God. It's a young person thing now.
Yeah, but, that's fine for Chase. That's not fine for Juju, who's always on there, apparently. But I think it was ridiculous coming out. You didn't need to say that. Yeah, he goes, we lost, and they played well. But, they're still the Browns at the end of the day. Like, come on.
No, and that's the thing. What is he? He's a rookie, and he's played one year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, what right has he earned to just go, the Browns are just going to Brown, and we're the Pittsburgh Steelers? It's just like,
he's a rook. Exactly what I thought.
Yeah, just quieten down, son. And all that's, I mean, if you're a Browns player or a Browns fan, or especially if you're a Browns player, all you've got to do to clap back at him and just go, oh, really, that's nice. Oh, geez, look, I've got to go now. I've got to go and get a little bit of treatment. Get a massage and stuff like that, and prepare, because you know what I'm doing next week? Yeah, I'm still playing. And what are you doing next week? Oh yeah, you're finding which Vegas hotel you're gonna go book yourself in, for your end of season trip. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's all you've got to do.
Even better. Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
All you've got to do.
Before we move on to some news, you had sort of about a couple of other things. I had a little thing for you, just I guess because I know you love betting more than me. For next week's games, I had down like to see if you could guess the lines of all the games, the four games, to see how close you can get. These, I'm only going off Sportsbet, and Ned's and Sportsbet are pretty much exactly the same, but. Not that we're sponsored by Sportsbet, but we'd love to be, just throwing that out there. The first game was Green Bay and LA Rams.
It's got to be 10 plus.
It's 6.5 for the Green Bay Packers. That's why I think the Rams, I think the Rams could easily, that's decent odds to me for the Rams, 6.5 points. Head start. I think they'll cover that pretty easily.
Should. Oh, and just that's, I mean, it you're gonna put your money, and your trust in Jared Goff.
I'm putting it in their defense. I think their defense could keep, could keep it close enough to have that.
You've still got to score points unless you're going to keep getting pick sixes or special teams plays.
Well, maybe. Look what nearly happened that whole game this week. What about Baltimore and Buffalo?
2.5.
It's very close. It's 2, but who's the favorite?
Buffalo.
Yeah, it is Buffalo by 2. So you're really close on that one. Yeah, that's a.
Well, it's at Orchard Park. It's in Buffalo, so you've got to give the edge a little bit to them.
Yeah, I think we both sort of talked about this one already, but the Chiefs and Browns.
Yeah, that's 12.
No, it was 10. So yeah, that's
Yeah, I think the Chiefs could easily cover that. I'm pretty sure. And last one, the interesting one, the Tampa and New Orleans.
1.5.
No, 3. Who's the favorite?
Oh, wow. Yeah, New Orleans, a 3-point favorite.
3-point favorites. So, yeah, no, I could, yeah, 3-point, that's a field goal. So, yeah.
Just quietly, I'm very, very worried about this game.
Oh, I know you're very worried about it. I heard it during that whole time we were talking about the Saints game. Of course you'd have to be. The only thing that scared me is that you tout them in the first two games and they're coming for revenge. That would be the only thing that scares me, clearly.
It's just Brady playing the way that Brady does at this time of the year. And he's playing the way that he is, that he always has at this time of the year.
Yeah, it
and
is
who
scary.
Who the hell wouldn't be scared about that?
And now he has weapons in Evans. And
the cupboard is stacked.
Yeah, the cupboard
for Brady to go. But you know, in saying that, you think it's still going to have to be a mixture of, you know, pass and run, and you know, if New Orleans can sort of stuff the run and keep, you know, Leonard Fournette and Peyton Barber out of that game. Yeah.
If Gardner Johnson could do what he did that last game.
And this thing too, you know, something that sort of gets a little bit overlooked is the wide receiver, you know, cornerback battle. And it's going to be Mike Evans and Marshon Lattimore again. And they have got an extreme disdain for each other. So that's going to be something really interesting to watch in that game, and once again, yeah, to see what the serial pest does this week.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can. You know, hopefully he, and I know exactly who he is going to be marking.
Who?
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
He's gonna be nitpicking.
Yeah, but all I remember that last game. All I remember that last game was him just nitpicking and Cameron Jordan just like really getting in the face of Brady. That was the two things that I noticed in that blowout game. So,
and that was the thing too, like, you know, then the way that the Saints played this week too is they're without Trey Hendrickson as well, who was the team leader in sacks and finished, I think, tied for second or tied for third for sacks throughout the year. So, you know, for them to do it without him as well, they think there's a lot of info on whether he'll be back next week, and you can only hope so. And if they've got Hendrickson and Cam Jordan from either side, you know, in either side of the ruck, or you know, either side of the line of scrimmage, to get after Brady, then they need to disrupt him and disrupt him a lot.
So finishing up, you had a little bit of NFL news.
I mean, look, you know, we're you know, a week or so after the regular season finished, and there's, you know, we've had a few sackings of coaches and stuff like that, and the fallout sort of has continued a little bit. You know, the offensive coordinator for Seattle, you know, so what's his name, Brian Schottenheimer, he's mm-hmm. been sacked by Seattle.
Yeah.
Chuck Pagano, who's the defensive coordinator for the Bears, has decided to hang it up, so he's going to retire. So yeah, They'll be on the lookout for another defensive coordinator there at Chicago. And I think the biggest news, and I think somebody called this one, that Doug Peterson has been shown the door at Philadelphia.
Yeah, I called it because a lot of it didn't make sense when, you know, as terrible as Wentz is playing, I guess I get Jalen Hurts getting in there. You know, he's a young rookie quarterback that they drafted high enough. So when you draft a high quarterback,
they drafted him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it was the way Wentz came out with it, and just wasn't, you know, the little bits that he kept coming out with. That's why I was calling it. See, you don't get a quarterback that you just signed a contract, so they're going to still pay you. You know that you don't want to sit on the bench. No one wants to sit on the bench. Don't get me wrong, but they're still going to pay you no matter what. You're still going to get your money. But the little things that kept coming out from him and then a couple other things, and then obviously that right at the end when they that Jalen Hurts getting pulled against the Giants. That was clearly that. Well, they said no, that wasn't the tipping point, but it had to have been a tipping point, surely. And he lost the dressing. Yeah, it's just, you could see it just from Carson Wentz getting benched from then, and then him talking about it from then onwards. That's where it sort of stemmed from, I thought. It could have been all year. Who knows?
No, it could have been, but like you said, you know, it's the old saying of he's lost the dressing room.
The dressing room, yeah.
You know, as much as you don't want to sort of say that, yeah, he's done that, but I think, you know, the pulling of Jalen Hurts and putting in Nate Sudfield in that game when they're only down 3 points.
Yeah.
Well, I think was I guess the straw that broke the camel's back, especially in the locker room. And the problem is with that too is, so who would want to come in? Is that a desirable job?
It's, well, to me at the moment.
Why would you want to walk into that? And the very first thing that you've got to fix is the quarterback controversy. Well, why would you want to walk straight into that and go, oh, well, you know, geez, the young rook. Yeah, geez, you played well in those four starts and those five starts. Oh, you know, you're going to have to sit behind him because we're actually paying this other guy like $136 million. So, sorry, son. You're going to have to just hit the pine.
Oh, no, I agree. It's terrible to walk into, but it's better to walk into what's happening at Houston and their quarterback. That's probably worse. Like what they, you
well,
know. What,
and that's right. Yeah, that, I think that's other the other little bit of a little tidbit of news that's come out that that Deshaun Watson is extremely displeased with the way that they Houston has gone about their sort of GM / coaching coaching search. So, and that's the last person on that roster that you want to piss off.
Well, so he reckons they told him when he signed the contract he'd have some input at least, or input into who was, which is ridiculous. You don't say that. You don't say that to a player. Like, you get input on who's the coach and the GM. You just don't. It's a quarterback. He's a brilliant quarterback, and I'll talk about things about him in a sec, but he really doesn't need to have input. But if they said it, then you should do it.
And no, he didn't have, exactly right.
The head coach hasn't been filled, but they didn't have, he apparently didn't have any input in the GM role at all. So he was not happy with the choice, apparently. So it
apparently and the other thing too, yeah, is they didn't even look. I think it was the fact that they didn't even have a look at the Kansas City offensive coordinator Bieniemy to come in to even interview for the process or anything like that. I think that was his big the next gripe that he had. With management, so that's
the enemy.
And I saw some ridiculous reporting out there that there's these BS trade rumors of Deshaun Watson for Tua Tagovailoa. Get the F out of here.
Okay, so I'll finish on the other bit first, but that's what I was going to talk about. But before that, Bieniemy can, and I think he's come out and said it. He can sit back and just wait for the team that he wants to. I don't think he has to rush into being the head coach.
Those offers are gonna roll in.
That's right. On that whole tour, it's not just, so if I was Miami, it's not just a swap for swap. Of what I read.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Like that just can't happen salary wise. Like, you know, that's
no, it can. It actually can. Because there's a little bit of ways they can construct and they have some money and restructure it. So it can actually happen in Miami. But they would have to give up, of what I read, and Deshaun's got a no-trade clause too, so he doesn't like who they pick.
No, that's right, exactly. No.
So he's got the whole power. But they'd have to give, well, clearly the first two picks that Miami have in this draft, plus it's basically four first-round picks, plus Tua, plus something else. That would make a bit more. But that's four first round picks, a Tua, for a 27-year-old in your prime quarterback. I think every team
they've still got to have protection and have the weapons to throw to. He's not walking into the Miami Dolphins and they don't have the DeAndre Hopkins. They have Julio Jones. They have Michael Thomas. They have Devontae Adams. Like, what have they got there?
You don't. But you,
and if they throw away that top pick, they're not going to get. They're not going to get the young kid, Devontae Smith from Alabama. So what are they getting?
No, I understand what you're coming from there, but if this guy,
he's going to be thrown to bums just like he's thrown to at the Texans. So I don't know why the hell he'd want that.
I think one, because he wants to get out of Houston, but now they've got you know, Devontae Parker. That's one good sort of start. Yeah, Alan Hurts is still in there.
He'd still be thrown to bums.
All I'm getting at is if there's probably only about five teams. Like he is a top five quarterback. 100% a top five quarterback.
He led the league in passing yards this year.
That's
right. How the hell did that?
So there's probably five or six teams that won't really need to go after him, but every team should. I would. I would as a Cowboy fan. I definitely would. Your team.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one team. There's probably two teams that wouldn't.
I'd say, yeah. No, I'd say probably three or four. So, Tampa.
Kansas City and Green Bay are one.
Yeah, and Tampa, because I think Tom signed up for... I think it's going to be more than next year as well. And I think the Bills are happy with Josh Allen.
Well, I don't think the Bills aren't.
And he's just throwing another one out there. I think Justin Herbert's fine at the Chargers. So
whether they give him up or not, could you imagine Keenan Allen catching balls from Deshaun Watson?
That's what I mean. If you say, like, it's ludicrous, you know, if not ludicrous, but if he's giving up like four round picks plus a player for Deshaun Watson in his absolute prime, and he can win you a Super Bowl, why not?
Yeah, but it's. I mean, he's not walking into a roster that's got Stephon Diggs on it.
Of what I've heard, because
he doesn't have. And then that's on Miami then to go out there into either the free agent or the trade market again to try and get themselves a decent number one receiver there. Like you're making hard on the front office there.
So he'll be the talk of the entire offseason now, because that'll be like, you know, that'll be everywhere. Like, they were talking about Dak and what that's going to happen with the Cowboys, but I'm pretty sure this is just going to wave for shadow.
That's dead talk. That's dead talk now.
And just finishing on the Cowboys, they signed Dan Quinn as their defensive coordinator for 3 years, their Falcons ex-head coach, which I don't mind personally, because I went back and looked at Dan Quinn's start, except for this guy, this head coaching gig at the Falcons. All he's ever been is a defensive coordinator or defensive.
No, that's right, exactly.
Coach. So if he can recapture that goal just to get back into that head coaching market that he probably wants, why not? I don't mind that at all, personally.
What's mean? He was the head coach, but I think he would have been putting a lot of, a lot of input into the defensive scheme there at Atlanta when they had their soul stolen away from Tom Brady. And
the thing is,
the offensive coordinator there was Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Like that's why they got to where they were.
Yeah.
Because Kyle Shanahan. You know, he ain't there anymore.
Except for this season, it was a great season. They haven't had terrible season. They've had winning seasons. It's just this one wasn't great, obviously. So, and they've got the number four pick, and God, I mean, we'll probably talk about these next week, but I don't know what there's two things I think they need to go after, but I don't know. Who knows?
I guess it'll have to be a little bit of study of a Mel Kiper Jr. mock draft, I guess, to see who would be the best fit, or just sort of, obviously college season's wrapped up now with Alabama beating Ohio State. So
Devontae Smith is he's ridiculous. I looked at five mock drafts. I mean, obviously, that we could talk about this next week. I mean, the consensus number one is Trevor Lawrence. That's done and dusted. That's what I mean. Then it's all juice from there. Like it's like, you know, it could be a Justin Fields. It could be Devontae Smith. I think, or what the hell, or Jets trade down and they get this Pettis from offensive lineman. I don't know, but. It gets all juicy from there after Trevor Lawrence.
I think the Crimson Tide quarterback Matt Jones has thrown his hat into the ring as well after the way that he finished off the season.
Well, him, Zach Wilson apparently is from LSU. is touted as the top five draft pick, you know, that could go to Falcons. There's a few quarterbacks this year, except for Trevor Lawrence, of course. Justin Fields, I mean, yeah.
That's right.
Devontae won't get past four. If Miami doesn't do anything, so he's either going to Miami or the Falcons. Or possibly even the Jets. He's not getting past four, Devontae Smith.
If he's there at number three, Miami absolutely have to take him.
Oh, they have to take him. If they don't absolutely do anything with Deshaun, which I don't think they will, they'll have to take him. You would.
Devontae Smith caught the ball in the national championship for the Crimson Tide, was it a couple of years ago, off tour.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's chemistry there straight up.
Yeah, it's the Jets. That's what we're talking about next week. Like, it's a Jet. What the hell do Jets do? Like, the Jets are I don't know what they do. And of everybody, because...
And that's...
Like, the whole Sam Darnold thing.
That could be a scary prospect for the teams, you know, two or three spots straight after what the Jets pick, because who the hell knows what they'll do?
Well, all I can think is you'd trade down and get some more assets, but that's what I think. But anyway, I think that's the only option. Darnold, don't you? You have to be. He didn't do that bad towards the end. I don't know. You can't. Surely, well, I don't know. Who knows? It's the Jets. I don't know. They still need a coach.
Yeah, they've got to. Got to completely dismantle that roster.
Yeah. They could use a wide receiver. They could definitely use a wide receiver.
Absolutely, they could. Exactly.
I don't remember the last time that I keep saying Devontae because I can't try to rack my brain and I'll look it up for next week. I can't remember a wide receiver going so high as four for a long time.
No,
running backs, quarterbacks.
They're generally not taken that high.
But of all reports, he will be taken that high, Devontae Smith. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's and if he's as a generational talent as what he is, you know, he's not the biggest wide receiver in the world, and it all comes down to what team takes him and what sort of scheme they want to put him in and things like that on whether or not he can have a successful sort of, you know, start to his season or, you know, start to his career.
I think so. Well, that'll do it, I guess,
He goes to the Jets, could be doomed straight away.
I think Miami makes it, if the Jets don't pick him, Miami makes the total sense. That's what I sort of thought going in.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's...
Like they
I didn't that, I didn't forgot about would, the Tua thing.
They'll have 5 minutes to make the pick, but they should be making it in 5 seconds.
5 seconds. I forgot about the Tua chemistry there, but I just know because they need a wide receiver. That was my first thing that I thought, so, yeah. And so do Falcons, but that's why I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, Julio got banged up so much this year. Like, who knows what they're going to do?
That's right. And they've got a changing of the guard there as well with Calvin Ridley, who I think, funnily enough, is a former Alabama player as well. Is that right? I think Calvin Ridley is. So, is Julio Jones? Is he Alabama player as well? Probably.
I guarantee there's about 1,000 of these. Crimson Tide receivers, running backs in there. Yeah, they're the Alabama Crimson Tide on the back of Nick Saban they're just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
They just pump the pros out.
They really do, don't they? They find them.
Pros out.
They find them and they offer, it's they just have the best college system. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. So, yeah, it's... we'll wait and see, I guess.
They're unbelievable.
Well, that'll do it this week for our NFL pod. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, which is Facebook and also Twitter at Final Play Pod. Facebook's where you'll find, well, you just find it on Twitter as well, but you'll find all our links on there to get the pods. As well, you'll find it on Gimco, Gimco's trading card, so gimco.com.au. Which is, again, always, always grateful. I'm just looking. I'll give you a couple of names at the end. You'll be blown away who the wide receivers are at Alabama. oh, my God. Don't forget, check out Gimco. Very, very, always grateful. So,
Oh, these wide receivers. See, Devontae, like you said.
It's with Gimco, just quickly with Gimco as well. Like they've they've got some new products. They're putting out some baseball breaks at the moment now, but they're putting out one of my personal favorites out there is they've got WWE back. So they just had a box of Undisputed this year's Undisputed, or last year's Undisputed 2020, which is a super, super nice product. I missed out on the break, but I'll definitely be getting in on the next one. And it's just, they're just tops, man. Tops have outdone themselves this year with what they're doing with their WWE products. They've got Tops Chrome, Tops Finest, which are, old school products, from back in the day, late 90s, early 2000s. They were sort of in their peak, but they've brought them back. And the Undisputed cards, I think they're about $400, $450 a box. So it's exy stuff, but the cards are just, they're beautiful. They're unreal. So, I'm very, very happy that they've got, some WWE products back. So, I'll be definitely back in investing. I think I don't know if I showed you what I got out of a competitor's break.
Yeah, you did.
Which was just an unbelievable card to pull.
Not that you'd ever sell it.
Oh God, no! I'm getting buried with that card.
It's Mankind for the people out there. You're getting buried with that card.
Just couldn't have been a more perfect card, a more perfect moment for Mankind.
Perfect moment. Wow.
Well, perfect moment. What are you talking about? January 4th, him winning the WWF Championship.
Oh, come on. No, but I'm just saying, you pulling the car was a perfect moment. I thought you were talking about. Sorry.
Oh, that too. But, just an unbelievable grab. And it's an awesome product as well. So I think the odds, I think I looked it up, the odds to actually get that card were like 1 in 75,000.
Oh, wow.
So that's right out there, and that's a cool thing that what Tops do as well. They actually give you those odds of what the cards are, even though it's still a limited run. And that's what the old school cards used to do. 1 in 36 packs, so one per an insert per box and stuff like that. Panini don't do that. Like Panini just go, you'll buy a product and you will like it.
Wow.
Tops, get back in the game of basketball and NFL, please.
So just some names that play with Alabama. We mentioned Devontae Smith, who actually overtook the next guy in the most receiving yards for Alabama of all time. That was Amari Cooper. So Amari Cooper,
Jerry Jeudy, like, come on.
Calvin Ridley,
Julio Jones.
Jalen Waddle. Henry Ruggs was from there. AJ Howard.
Henry Ruggs.
From there, and then their running backs is more insane. Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake.
Mark Ingram won a Heisman.
Yeah, he did win a Heisman. Josh Jacobs was from there. That's Saban magic, Nick Saban. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right. It's a pro football team in the college ranks. It's unbelievable.
Well, my name's Jason. Yeah. Nick Saban's unbelievable Smith, because he is. He's not good as a head coach in the NFL, but he's definitely good as a head coach in the college system. Very, very good.
Just unbelievable. What is it? Six national championships with Alabama and one with LSU. So just a phenomenal leader of young men. And if you want to get yourself to the NFL, then that's the program that you seek.
And he gets paid a pretty penny too. So.
He wouldn't be hard up for cash.
Definitely.
I guess I better sign off. I guess this week it'll be, I'll sign off as Miles, loving Tops Chrome, Tops Finest, Tops Undisputed Pump.
I knew that was coming. All right,
give me all of those Undisputed. Oh man, it's awesome. It's a beautiful price. So expensive though. Good God, it's expensive.
All right, have a good week, everyone.
See ya.